even if your mouth gets a little bit speaking of glory. Because I don't want to talk about, it's not pride. It's the glorious things of God. It's because, you know, ultimately, God is doing all this. You know, if anyone were to find any sort of pride in what I'm saying, they must not be listening to everything I'm saying. That's the only thing I can think of. Because there's no pride in it. It is only, you know, what I feel is when I start saying things that people could construe as being proud, it's not that, it's that the zeal of God's house eats me up. And I get very passionate about it. And I start saying things because I know they're right. And that's all that amounts to. We got to be long-suffering. You know, that means, you know, you've got to undergo things and bear under it. Forbearing means holding under yourself, holding oneself up. That means, in a sense, it could be stopping yourself. You know, to forbear, you know, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, the prophet used. In the English, it means to not do something, you know. And that's what it means, to hold oneself up, to put, it can mean to put up with, in that sense, or it can mean in the idea of, and I'm telling you, whether you know, of bearing with, you know, putting up, in the sense of inaction against. And I don't mean necessarily the word, I mean the idea behind being lowly, meek, long-suffering, forbearing one another. This reminds me of all kinds of things that have been written in chapters we've already studied in this series. You know, like if a man, like Galatians 6:1, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. That's again gentleness. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. What was that again, gentleness? Spirit of meekness. Do I have a note on that? See, 5:23. Yeah. Christotes. Usefulness, that is excellence in moral character. But that's a different word than we have over here, meekness. There's different words used. That's why I kind of say it's meekness there means, useful. You know, go back and study Galatians 5 and 6, and you'll see. But meekness here is a little different word. Yeah, that means gentleness or implying humility. From words that mean gentle and humble, mild. But in any case, you know, we are to be towards one another. Now, this is how we treat our brethren. Because you know why? If they are our brethren, then it's like you have Christ in your midst. Whatever stage of development they're at. You gotta remember, this is, as much as you have done it to the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. How you treat your brethren. You know, if you bite and devour your brethren, you bite and devour Christ. If you would, mistreat those in the body of Christ, the least of them, you know, you don't despise them, you despise the Lord. We got to have a lowly mind towards our brethren because they are the closest we will get to the God, to the Lord. Don't think of it's like we are to have Christ formed in us, right? But look at Christ. What did he do? He made himself of no reputation and took upon the form of a servant. So ultimately, to become like Christ, you have to become the least. And then the same way, you look at others who are like Christ, and now you treat them the way you think Christ ought to be taught, ought to be treated. Did I say trot? My goodness. We treat them the way Christ ought to be taught. That's a pretty funny use of English there. Ooh-wee. Yeah, you treat them the way you think Christ should be treated. I really want to say the word trot, which is insane. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Spoutazo, to use speed. Endeavoring means to, you know, we're going to put effort into this. We want to keep the unity. We're going to guard the, you know, keep means to, like, to guard from loss or injury. You know, we're going to try the oneness of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Now, to me, to Paul, this was an easy thing to say. He did not live in our generation. Because today, we don't have this unity in the world. I mean, in the church world. You know what I mean? It's like we have this disunity. And it arose from the apostasy of the ancient times, you know, of the churches when they turned away from Christ and they turned to the earthly powers, beginning with the Nicene Council and probably even before that, you know, when they let the government into the church and they see Satan took Christ to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in an instant, says, "This will all be yours if you bow down to me." Well, Constantine did that with the bishops in, I think it was like 325 or something like that, somewhere around there. And they, unlike Christ, they said, yeah, give it to us. Give us dominion. If you would just bow down and acknowledge me. Now, it wasn't exactly like that. But allegorically speaking, to me, that was such a betrayal of Christ. To let the temporal power, to unify itself with the temporal power, was a betrayal. And the betrayals continued. And then people decided, hey, there's something wrong with the church, and they started having these reformation movements. And all they did was shuffle the chairs in the Titanic. Ah, they did more than that. I shouldn't discount it so much. But because it's like they were coming from a place, you know, here I sit at the end of history almost, and I have the benefit of looking back on everything. All the mistakes of the past, you know, and it's so easy to sit back now and say, oh, why didn't they, you know,